Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Somewhat unsurprisingly, back-to-back All-Ireland champions Galway claim five places on this year's 2018 Electric Ireland Minor Hurling Team of the Year. One of those tasked with picking that team of the year joins us in studio now. Michael Fennelly, you're very welcome along to Off the Ball Towers. I want to get to the process of picking this team, because it was yourself and Ollie Canning were involved. How fraught were the discussions about picking who, and what did it come down to? Were there county allegiances? Because given the nature of the balance of the squad, there's what, five Galway, four Kilkenny? I'm kind of guessing things might have got a little bit tense.
Ollie won that argument at the end. But I know Ollie is as genuine as they come and as honest as they come. So no, it was good to be involved with Electric Ireland in picking the minor all-star team. And again, very difficult to do. There's only people happy and people not happy. So very same with the seniors, with the football and the hurling obviously as well. So it was good to do. It's nice to give some recognition to those players as well at that young age of their achievements this year individually, even though as a team they might not have succeeded. If your own performance was top level, they're getting an award, and there's a lovely night for them next Saturday week on the 29th where they'll be presented the awards, and there'll be a Hurler of the Year as well on the night presented.
How did that championship stack up for you this year? Because I suppose from your own point of view, having stepped away from the Kilkenny panel, and now I suppose judging this team this year, you've got two hats on essentially. You're looking to judge the team of the year, and also you're looking to see from a selfish point of view if there's anything from a Kilkenny perspective that can feed the senior team in the next year or so as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. It was great. Like, obviously the loss against Dublin in a kind of a crazy Leinster final with about 13 goals were scored, so that forced them in the back door, and they had to play all in all, I think Richie Mull was saying something like 9 or 10 games, like, so that was a heavy going on the players. But again, it's a lot of experience, and again they got to test the panel, and you know, if you're coming through games like that, that will add massive experience for you onto under 20s, which will be next year, and hopefully onto senior. So impressed, to be honest. And they obviously got to the All-Ireland final. Galway were far the superior team, to be fair, but it gives hope, and if you reach an All-Ireland finals, it's good. It's very, very positive.
Yeah, what kind of areas were the most difficult to pick from this year?
The forwards were very tough, because obviously there was high scoring in most of the games.
It was a very high scoring championship generally, though. It was, yeah.
Yeah, which again, I suppose, yeah, and that's a good thing maybe, you know, that we've a lot of good forwards coming from all different counties, and Galway always have a really strong minor team, you know, from the years I've been playing and watching. They've always been very strong. I was actually just looking lately enough on their minor count, maybe over the last maybe 20 years. They've won maybe 6 or 7, so they actually haven't took over altogether, but they always seem to be getting there.
Thereabouts.
And they've always a lightning corner forward who's really a top end player, like, for over the years. So there's always a great talent. Like last year, you had Joe's nephew, like, you know, who was a huge talent and one to watch out for, obviously, for the coming couple of years.
It's a fantastic thing to kind of have that production line, because you would have been known for it down through the years. Galway now are getting known for it too, and we've seen, I suppose, what success at underage level for a Limerick side has done in the past 2-3 years as well, ultimately culminating in them winning the Liam McCarthy just this past September.
Yeah, funnily enough, like, Limerick haven't won the minor in donkey's years, even though they have a strong cohort here of players coming through. So they haven't achieved underage, but they have developed those players, and you know, it has come to fruition in terms of under 21. They have two under 21s over the last maybe 3 or 4 years, and also now they have the Liam McCarthy Cup, and they have a really good bunch of players now, and it's a strong big panel, so plenty competition for places. You know, John Kiley has him there now, and he really has some good foundations laid, good culture there, and he seems to really have a real hard working panel. And if you have that, like, that's the foundation of every team success, and everyone seems to was buying into it. And even like Shane Dowling, who would be normally a starter over the years, was coming on, and he had no animosity in terms of not starting, and obviously he had huge impact in all those games. So he seems to have all the players level headed, a lot of young players there, and they would have came through that strength and conditioning kind of academy, like, that was in existence about maybe 8 to 10 years ago. So that is paying off now, I think, and I've been watching that for the last 5-6 years, and these players are stronger. They're going to be, hopefully, I suppose, for them, preventing injury, which is key, and hopefully get a more of a longevity career out of some of those players.
You described a lot of things that ultimately was the backbone of that Kilkenny side that you came up through as well. That level of togetherness, that level of buying into the one message from the manager, I mean, that's something that was that stood to you throughout that pretty much golden generation that you had there?
Yeah, it's those foundations, keeping your feet on the ground. And look, having Brian spearheading that was key to it. You know, if we had another manager, I've no doubt we would not have won half of what we did. So keeping everyone level-headed, keeping everyone kind of content is going to be important. Obviously, players are going to be unhappy when not starting, but at the end of the day, I suppose we're all looking to achieve success, and sometimes you have to bite your tongue and wait for your turn. And some players did, some players didn't, but we had a strong big panel. That was the key to it. Even at times, I remember Martin Fogarty was a selector with ourselves, and we brought in maybe three or four fringe players for a training session, as you do in terms of as the year goes on with injuries and that. And I think three of the fringe players came in actually and were the full back line on, let's say, the B side. And the three of them would have held probably three of our starting forwards. So that's actually the quality of players. And Kanasiki was one of them, actually, Noel's younger brother. And he would have come onto the panel in maybe a year or two later, probably because of a performance like that. And again, he would have been very consistent under 21 as well, and obviously with his club. But we had a big number of players. And so that was there. And Limerick seemed to have that as well. And it needs to be controlled, though. It needs to be keeping people, you know, under leveled on the ground. No egos creeping into a team. There's a lot there to control. And just in terms of Gaelic football, like Dublin really are the team at the moment who have that. And it's competition for places, really.
That competition for places and is a really healthy thing in terms of the way, and a lot of sides would have figured this out this year, the way the Munster and the Leinster Championships have gone and the round robin format needing to... Waterford ultimately are the kind of case in point of the side who paid the price and weren't necessarily able to manage those 4 weeks in a row. Being able to have a big squad, being able to manage a squad is something that is going to really pay off for sides to get through both the Munster and Leinster in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and this year, like, there was an unknown really, and I think management was probably saying exactly that, like, look, we'll need a big panel. But I think now the league next year will have to be used for that, where you try out new players, where the focus is maybe not on the winning, it's actually blooding some of these lads. For me, I think that's the way to go with it, because you want them right and you want to see who's ready for championship come May or June, because you will have a bucket of games coming quickly. Waterford were very unlucky in terms of the injuries they had. Like, that was a freak in terms of the 7 or 8 starting players from 2017 All-Ireland not playing because of injuries. So that was more of a freak incident than anything, but they still had a few players coming in there. DJ Forn came on there and was really strong, and did a couple more lads, you know, putting their hand up. So that's important, I think, for teams to have that strong panel. And I think it will be going more like maybe the Aussie Rules or some of those teams where they have big panels, where you have 40-odd players and 40, 45 players, and you have maybe an academy. Some of them are in an academy or something, because they got to be right too. You can't just bring in someone off the cuff to come in for training and where the bodies are breaking down, where they're not mentally or physically right prepared for it.
You very much need the buy-in though from the county and the county board, and to have that set up there, and it will start at least in terms of county representation with the minors, as you mentioned yourself, and then on through the under 21s. And like, it's something that needs to be sorted and sorted out from a very young age.
Yeah.
And you almost have to play the long game. I mean, there are counties out there that are starting to do that, that are starting to talk about building academies, that are starting to talk about strength and conditioning in more serious terms. Yeah. And it really is something that, like, you can pay testament yourself, it is paying off.
Yeah, it is. And again, it's probably back to under 14, really. And
yeah,
you do need buy-in from the clubs. And it's not all about, I suppose, the best players getting the best training, like, you know, because other players might not go through that system and still actually be a senior inter-county player and maybe one of your best players. So it's important, I think, to keep as many players as possible in the system, if you like to call it that, and giving people a chance. And players who are playing well, you know, get them in there. And Anthony Daly would have touched on it at the time he was in Limerick, where clubs might contact him saying, look, this fella is going well. And Anthony openly said, look, we'd bring him in for a couple of sessions and see how you go. And that's really important, I think. And not just sticking with academy players or development squads. It's always changing and adapting. And I do think that's the way it's going to go. And it makes sense to me, to be honest. And Limerick have done it 10 years ago, and now they had to wait the bones of 10 years for this to pay off.
But it kind of shows you know, you're willing to play the long game, this thing can pay off. How was it for your first summer, I suppose, looking on from the sidelines? Because I guess it's going to be one of those years where you're thinking, this is the year where you're thinking, well, this time last year, this time a couple of years ago, I would have been doing X, Y, Z, and everything is bookmarked by certain points in the summer, whereas this year you kind of had it wide open, you did bits and pieces for TV, you're kind of a little bit more freer.
Yeah, a bit more freer. It's probably a bit unusual, but I knew myself, my body wasn't able to compete at that level anymore, so that was my mind is made up on that. So it wasn't as if...
You've made peace with it.
I made peace, and I hadn't really a choice in it, to be honest with it. I think if I had to stay on, I would have ended up with probably a serious injury, because in terms of demands and the way my body is the last year or two, I'm breaking down and there's more aches and pains coming in areas that's going to cause the likes of a cruciate injury or maybe another Achilles injury. So I know myself, I'm at that place now, so I need to be very careful. So I was content with that and I was happy with that. Missing out on the league final with the lads and not getting a trip to Australia in November here now, that was a sore point. But I was in America for the summer. I actually landed in America for the summer. And
what were you doing over there?
I played hurling, would you believe? Yeah. I tried to play hurling anyway.
Were you on the same kind of money that other people were going over there?
I wish I was. I wouldn't be here with you. I wouldn't be back yet. I'd be enjoying the high life over there. Yeah.
Whereabouts were you?
You're over in San Francisco.
Very nice.
So I did the Phoenix Club over there, and it was brilliant. You know, Michael Rice came over as well with his family, and Shane Pender from Kilkenny as well. We're probably the older crew on that team, Nafina, but Colin Dunford and DJ Forn and a few other boys, Mike Carney and Pendergast as well from Waterford, they're all in the same club too. So it was like a mini Fitzgibbon team, to be honest. So really enjoyed the training, really enjoyed the skill, the pace of it. You know, so it was great social aspect to it as well, and really good crack for the summer.
Absolutely, and it kind of is, it takes the weight off, because we saw that ESRI report this week that said, what is it, intercounty players, and you would have been part of this because it's part of 2016, was with the people that were surveyed, putting in up to 31 hours a week in terms of commitments. And it doesn't necessarily say training, but commitments towards the intercounty team. That's another job.
Yeah.
It's another job that you're not getting paid for.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like that, was the 31 hours something that you could identify with? Or
yeah, I'd say a couple of years ago, Marty asked me the same question, and I said maybe off the cuff 25 years or 25 hours per week with travel and everything else. And look, it's not all collective. That's 31 hours, and to be specific on it, it's not collective in terms of training. It's gym on your own, it's rehab.
It's everything to do with being an integrated
recovery,
player.
Yeah, without doubt. And look, sleep is obviously an important aspect. Nutrition is an important aspect. And players are obviously getting more educated on this area. We're bringing in more people who are educated in terms of coaching the players, and that's all important, because you want to get the best out of the player and they want to give it their all as well. So it's good that this is coming in, but it is like another job, and it's heavy going. And the scary thing about this is, this was 2016, all right? Right now, I've no doubt that this is
going, it's ramped up.
It's ramped up.
5-10%, yeah.
The fact that we have way more games this year, like, oh my God, I'd say players were, you know, really going hard at it in even November, December. Whereas normally that's kind of you're doing your own kind of stuff, you're tipping away, and now you're flat out. And the social aspect is completely gone for a lot of teams, and the club level is completely decimated. It's gone. And Tommy Welch did refer to it there maybe a few months ago in terms of it's not going to exist, you know, soon enough, and it's going to be very poor quality if something's not done. And he's right. You know, there's no, the club is forgotten about. Which is scary, and the club has been a problem for years, and it still has not been done about it. If anything, it's gotten worse now this year because of the fixtures with Intercounty. And to be honest, as a supporter, the Intercounty side of things is brilliant. Going to games, going to home games, going to Cork and these places, up to Salt Hill, brilliant weekends away. The hurling is brilliant and everyone's enjoying it, but the club is being done away with. And it's, you know, and even I find a lot of younger generation of different clubs and, you know, different counties, players are not probably as much interested as they used to be back when I was that age, and they're probably more chilled out about things, and they're travelling a bit more maybe, and they're not too pushed maybe about
that trickles down to the minors as well, obviously, that you would have picked for this side too.
Yeah, to a degree, you know, and you do have some players who are very ambitious and highly motivated and always have that, but definitely there's a lot more distractions nowadays, I think. And look, whether that's a bad or a good thing, I don't know, but it's different. It's definitely
people need different. A more well-rounded life experience. I mean, talking about 31 hours or more probably this year for an intercounty player, it deprives you of a life outside the game. If you don't have a life outside the game, then you're not, you know, living a normal life, really, I guess.
Yeah, and look, I even noticed myself this year, family, I'm seeing a lot more of my nephews and nieces and that now, and I'm not running to go somewhere. I'm not, you know, worrying about what I'm eating or sleep or whatever it may be. I can chill out, and it actually was a relief at times, you know, just to relax, have a drink there without, you know, contemplating, you know, training the following day or worrying about anything. So that definitely was a relief. And I think what you find is, you know, we'll probably develop players younger, and you will see players finishing at around 27, 28. That'll be definitely a team if this format continues. And it's no one's fault as such, really, either. Like, you know, it just needs to be managed better, and the year needs to be a bit shorter, I think, for intercounty players, because it's too long. And you have the league, which is quite serious, and you have the championship, which is a league basis now as well. The two of them can't coincide.
I think we're going to head down the route that you probably laid out earlier on, whereby they're going to use it as a proving ground to counties for players, the league, that is, and try and get people, I suppose, to work towards the pinnacle of the summer and work towards the championship. On a management front, we want to get to that as well, because I believe you're doing your studies, a doctorate in leadership, I believe.
Yeah, so leadership and coaching behaviours. Yeah, that's a year in now. But
so you're one of the forming an orderly queue behind the lad in the peak cap down in Nolan Park?
Don't know in the park. I don't know in terms of...
Because we were talking about it in terms of Eddie Brennan going and taking the Leash job, and we were saying that, oh, he might have designs on succeeding Cody, and, you know, 3-4 years down the line when Cody thinks... We were thinking, there's no way that Cody's going to want to step away.
Yeah.
He's not that kind of character. Or is he?
Yeah, it's hard to know, to be honest. You know, it's hard to know what Brian is thinking sometimes, but
he played under for long enough, so you kind of think that you might know what he's thinking.
Yeah, oh, God, you don't.
Really?
No, he's...
Closed book?
He can be closed enough, yeah. He's closed enough. Obviously, it's a personal thing, really, in terms of whether he stays on or not, but and commitments, obviously. But he loves it, so he's passionate about it. He's highly motivated, and to keep doing it the way he's doing it is... You won't ever see it again, I'd say, to be honest. So he's like the Alex Ferguson of soccer, maybe, I'd say.
We see it with managers in different sports. I mean, you go past 3-4 years, that's the period when you're thinking about, oh, maybe I might stay in, maybe I might not. And then beyond that, when you're into 5 and 10, then it's your life.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine for Brian, it's his absolute, like, he's consumed by this day in and day out. And in like these down moments where we're talking about, we're in what, September now, heading into October, and the inter-county thing is not really a concern to anybody. He's still living it, I'd imagine.
And he just loves hurling, obviously, and Elsie's wife, obviously, she's a former Wexford Camogie player, and she's big into it as well, and that's obviously a big help. And his two sons, obviously, are fully grown, and they're independent now as well. So he loves it, just like a lot of people do, and he's very passionate about it. And you know, he enjoys the coaching, and why not keep doing it? You know, if you enjoy it.
What is your kind of education leading towards you coaching, or are you looking? Yeah,
I'd love to coach. It's been there always, you know, in terms of coaching and looking at different coaches and their behaviours and how they handle things, but whether it'd be good or not, I don't know. But at the minute, I'm doing this PhD. I want to learn more about it first, and I'd love to get into environments and see what's happening and assist maybe with player interaction and coach, how coaches come across. Because sometimes after saying a speech or saying a few words to players, you might think you're coming across a certain way as a coach, but in fact, you're coming across a completely different way.
Kind of timely this week, I guess, when you see what's in the news across the news.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, at times with our language and with words and our non-verbal behaviour even, you'd be surprised, and even how you might focus on one person without you even knowing it.
Well, everything is subjective, because we were talking about this last week as well. It's like, no matter, every interaction, you might walk away from this interview with a completely different impression of it than I had, and we're both in the same room talking to each other at the same time.
Exactly. And I do a nice... nice presentation with managers and companies. We do some leadership workshops, and again, we put up a picture up on the screen, and so it's a picture that everyone can see. But some people can only see a certain thing, other people can see something else. Yeah. And I'm like, look, people actually, we all have the same, we're all looking at the same thing here, but we've all different views on it. And that's very important as a coach to realise that, and that your one approach is not maybe the golden one to go with, and there's other ways of getting to the outcome as well. So.
And that's an insight into you and Ollie in the judging room for this Electric Ireland minor team as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. I have to look at it from his point of view, and I have to potentially agree what he says maybe. And
he's a strong personality, we've noticed before when we've had him on.
Ollie?
Yeah, just a little bit. If he has an opinion, he's sticking to it.
That's a Galway lads for you now.
But overall, like, it's a really well balanced team of the year. We're looking at this as well, and you look at it, and there's no weak points there. There's no point that you'd look and think this midfield is really weak, or this midfield is kind of a chink in it. Like, and the spread of teams as well. When you see Dublin having two members in there as well, Colin O'Neill and the Limerick side of things getting in there too. I mean, it's nicely balanced amongst the sides at the latter stages.
Exactly, and look, it's a small little kind of token of how they play this year, and some players might have underperformed this year, and they'll get their chance then maybe 18, 19, and just because you're not making this team or not making the Kilkenny team, Kilkenny minor team, you know, there's still a chance you can actually, you know, develop and get better. And some players, you know, they spring at different times, and that's really important.
My worry is for you is that the All-Star judging panel is usually like a closed book, like we don't necessarily know who's on it from year in and year out. You and Canning have two big arrows pointing over your heads. So you might, when you go to this awards night, basically have a gang of lads who weren't on the team going, all right, Mick, what did I do wrong exactly to not get on here? And you're like, I had you could just be like, I had you in there, he didn't. Is that the kind of
Ollie be getting behind the finger of Ollie. Exactly.
Michael Fennelly, it's been an absolute pleasure. Hopefully we'll have you in again soon. There's plenty more I could have talked to you about. The hurling and football teams of the year will be awarded at the Electric Ireland Minor Star Awards on September the 29th in Croke Park to mark the culmination of the 2018 This Is Major campaign. Michael, thanks, Mel.
Rich, thanks.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.